live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for October the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Donate today if you have the heart to help at LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, talk of impeachment continues and actually ratchets up, if that's even possible. They say they're doing polls left and right. There's more and more and more support for impeachment. Makes sense. So the mainstream press promotes impeachment at every single turn. And believe it or not, the House subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani, that's Trump's personal lawyers, for a raft of documents, if you will, all related to his dealings with Ukrainian officials. So time will tell what that brings. I believe it's a witch hunt against the Donald. I believe he might have done what they say. But compared to Joe Biden, it's a pittance, to say the least. Joe Biden and his son literally got $50,000 a month from the Ukrainians. And very, very questionable behavior. They're ordering certain things to happen and or not happen, stopping a prosecution from taking place or threat of you're going to lose your big fat check from the United States government. So there's certainly a problem there. But for some strange reason, rather than the focus being on Joe Biden, the focus is on the Donald. All right, we talked about the Biden campaign is trying to urge the TV networks to stop booking Rudy Giuliani. Now, that alone is a problem. So is it worse that, you know, Joe Biden is trying to influence the Ukrainians and threatening and ordering and this and that? Or is it worse that the Biden campaign is trying to manipulate our news services, independent news services in America, to stop booking Giuliani because he disagrees with Giuliani's narrative? See, what's fascinating is that, you know what? Biden did this in the past. Red hot, hand caught in the cookie jar. Now he's doing it again to the news media. Saying, you know what, let's not interview Giuliani. He's not honest. As if Grandpa Crazy, whacked out pervert Joe is. I bring this up because you see Joe Biden doing exactly what he did to the Ukrainians to the media right this very second. But nobody catches him at it like Liberty Roundtable Live, one of the greatest think tanks on the planet. You say, wow, Sam, you're sure cocky. No, it's because of all the people we bring to the roundtable. It's not me. It's everybody around me that does such a phenomenal job. But I bring this up because who's talking about this? Who's talking about Joe Biden is doing exactly to the media, trying to use his star power, trying to force the media to not talk to Giuliani? Why should we talk to Joe Biden? Speaking of that. Okay, so there you have it. New study raises questions about how fluoride affects children's development. Now you say, that's an old story, Sam. You whacked out conspiracy theorists have been talking about that forever. You're right, we have. The problem is now there's a study that backs up our views and rejects the mainstream narrative. And believe it or not, it was even covered recently by CNN. How do you like those apples to say we were right once again? All right, they say just two Diet Cokes a day may increase your risk of deadly heart attack or stroke by 50%. I guess you got to get off the Diet Cokes, don't you, folks? All right, the water's so hot in Alaska, they say, that it's killing large numbers of salmon, says Ryan Pryor. They also say a massive ice sheet broke off. The thing is huge, and they say it's global warming, but now scientists are coming out and saying, you know what, this is cyclical. This happens about every 60 or 70 years or so. The planet's warming up, but let's not get overzealous about this one. This is a natural thing that happens. The debates rage on, the science is questionable, and the emotions are high as we debate, quote, global warming. Nashville Catholic School bans Harry Potter books at exorcists' advice. I say the private school can ban whatever they want to. You say, well, Sam, that's akin to book burning. Well, hey, you know what? The gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and Q, I don't know what that means, queer or questioning or whatever. Those folks are banning books when it's books they don't like. So, you know, when we talk about private education, I think the private education can do what they want. Hey, you got to wear uniforms. You can't bring your cell phone to school. We don't want these books in our libraries. They can say whatever they want to, man. That's free association, private property, individual freedom. If you don't like that school and what they stand for, don't go there. Okay? You might go to airlines that don't have guns, but I want to go to arm people to the teeth so no one gets hurt airlines. The point is there should be free association. There should be freedom to choose. Speaking of Catholic school, another private school in Virginia said that a 12-year-old student, she was a girl, a black girl. She claimed that three white boys held her down in the playground and cut her hair. Well, it turns out she lied and made the story up. Most of these black accusations of white crime against them are made up, folks. We've created such a racist, divisionary society, sadly so, that you know what? People make up these things to get attention. The 12-year-old girl is the latest. The principal at Emmanuel Christian School, that's where Vice President, his wife, Mike Pence's wife, Karen, teaches at that school, by the way. No wonder it gets so much attention. Anyway, the principal said, "We are absolutely glad to know the truth. The school is relieved to learn the truth. And I'm glad that there was no crime, white on black or otherwise." The problem is this little girl committed a crime. She lied. But I don't believe that this story just went national by accident. Oh my gosh, this girl said something. They didn't vet the story well enough. They believed her. It went viral. White on black crime, male on female crime, racist, sexist, everything else. And then it's like, we're sorry, it isn't accurate. She made it up. Where's the vetting process from the cops and from the principal and from the parents and to really drill in and find out before this thing went viral? They know that it goes viral. It has its divide factors and it puts ideas and hatred and division in the conscience of the American mindset. And then they take the story back on the back end and nobody knows the story was fake. See, they do this all the time. And I'm saddened that they do so. All right, looks like FEC chief, that's a Federal Election Commission chief, targets news she doesn't like, holds a symposium on disinformation, writes WND.com. WND does a great job. But look, what is going on here? This is a holdover in the Trump administration from the Barack administration. And I go, wait a minute, why is this lady even here? Now she literally challenges news she doesn't like, holds a, quote, fake news or information symposium. What it really means is we're going to browbeat people in the news, the independent news organizations. If you want to play ball and get information from your government or have a special privilege pass to attend, you know, government briefings and everything else, you better cooperate is the message. It's no different than the hostile tactics that Joe Biden's using to get the news media not to interview Giuliani. I mean, there is an asserted effort to just destroy anything conservative, constitutional, moral. It is out of control. And we the people need to see it for what it is. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Imagine in a single hour covering such topics and news. Hard-hitting, to say the least, and available at LibertyRoundtable.com. Second hour yesterday, we had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons. He's with the National Right to Work Legal Foundation, righttowork.org, doing a phenomenal job breaking down this story about GM and the big strike going on. Anderson Economic Group estimated that GM had lost profits of about $113 million so far and was now losing $25 million a day. $113 million so far, $25 million a day, but the employees are losing much, much more. The workers have lost wages totaling $266 million, and they say that's $68 million in lost federal income taxes and payroll taxes. I'm talking big money. The employees getting beat up the worst, big time. Strikes are no good for the people, ladies and gentlemen. They're great for the union bosses that live high on the hog at the expense of the rank and file. These forced unions, ladies and gentlemen, have got to be stopped. We need to promote right to work everywhere we possibly can. I'm okay with the unions that are free association. I'm not okay with forced unionism. How about you? Do you believe in force or the freedom to associate and choose? Republican, I guess more Republicans are retiring. So the Republican retirement, if you will, spike is happening, and it's diminishing of taking hope, or I'm sorry, taking leadership in the House in 2020. The Republicans probably won't get it done. Too many people are retiring. We even talked about this. Mr. Thornberry joins the, quote, Texodus is what they're calling this exiting from politics in Texas. Texodus. So there you go. Thornberry being the latest. Donald Trump says he deserves to meet the whistleblower face to face. I deserve to meet my accuser, says the Donald. And boy, do I agree with President Trump, but I say, hey, there's a lot of folks that can't meet with their accuser. Just ask Ken Cromar to make the point, Donald. We feel your pain, bro, but you got to stand up and feel our pain, too. We got to work together to stop these violations of the Constitution. Now, don't we, sir? Kanye West, interesting twist, doing a good job, says he will quit making secular music and only do gospel from now on. Kanye, good guy, trying to do his best, and certainly his trajectory in life is growing and promoting a male-female marriage and children and Christianity, and I'm just liking Donald Trump being fair about analyzing who we are. A black man that doesn't want to just complain that he's held down, somebody who wants to partner in America across racial lines and everything else to stand for liberty. You got to dig that, huh? Violent crime decreased, by the way, in 2018 with a 6% drop in the murder rate. That's great news. By the way, they say, is red meat bad for you? New research says you can't prove it. No, it's not. Man, these liberals are going ballistic about that. Joe Biden scaling back his digital advertising while his opponents are cranking it up. You got to wonder why.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Wow, we covered a lot of news. Finishing up the recap of yesterday's show, ladies and gentlemen, a whacked out professor. He wants to, quote, kill all Christians. Clock Trump. He wants to bury them deep in the ground. Yeah, bury believers deep in the ground. This professor's off his rocker, but no one complains when he makes crazy comments like that. They want to go after the white supremacists and call them the domestic threat. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Nevertheless, I'm saying this whacked out professor literally wants to, you know, bury Christians deep in the ground, kill them all. He doesn't want to say God sort them out. What's up with that? Anyway, what's the clock, Donald Trump? So weird stuff going on by the professor, but no one seems to bat an eye when the liberal side just goes unhinged, crazy, violent, belligerent. No domestic threat or terrorism there, but just weird. They want to attack all of us. Don't know why. Scientists find huge what they call world of hidden galaxies. Changing our understanding, they say, of the universe. previously unknown. They say, believe it or not, some of those stars and some of those incredible planets and, you know, things in the night skies are much awesome or much more awesome than our own. And I look at that and I go, why is it always better than us? The aliens are always smarter, more capable, da-da-da. It's a lie, folks. Now, are the foreign skies beautiful and beyond what our understanding was? Oh, yeah, that part of science is true. But this idea that they're always smarter and better and more beautiful and bigger and whatever than us, it isn't true, okay? I don't know whose skies are more beautiful, and I don't know that we know. We just discovered these skies, and we act like we know everything about them now? They're violating the scientific method, and they're violating reality. Look, God is the creator, and there is an order to things. Anybody with any intelligence will tell you that. And you know what? Let's not just pretend we know everything about it now. Science needs to always take second fiddle to God. And when science makes sense, fine, we accept it. But until then, if there's controversy or if it goes against the laws of God, in my humble mind, we throw it out and say, we'll learn more someday. Just my 2 cents. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is still available free and online at libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word, read the notes, listen to the broadcast, and share the love. And if you have the heart to help and have a couple of bucks you can chime in, we'd be grateful for every penny we can get. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. We're doing some phenomenal stuff, by the way. libertyroundtable.com. Donate and listen today, would you please? All right, without further ado, news that I refuse to use starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, Kurt, you know there's a month for everything.
As I was listening to the recap, I thought, man, that is an amazing amount of news.
Yes, it is. We cover a lot of stuff on the broadcast, man. We're fast-paced, hard-hitting, polite as could be, to the best of our ability. All right, come on. Now, Kurt, you realize that every month is a something month, right?
Well, yeah.
Every day is a something day. Every week is a something week, right?
Got to have a national celebration of chewing your gum and walking, you know,
yes,
backwards.
Yes, sir, that's for the intelligent.
Week or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, and it's a great divide. It's those who can chew gum and walk at the same time hate those who can't and stuff like that, right? But I don't know if you know, Kurt, October is blindness awareness month, my friend.
You know, I was in a, well, I didn't see that story.
Yeah, good point. It is blindness awareness month this month, and they want you to focus on, you know, there's a lot of reasons people are blind, and they want you to be aware of what blindness means and entails. And, you know, a lot of people in society have never really dealt with, say, a blind person or a deaf person or somebody with some disabilities and stuff like that. And so they want to heighten awareness is the reason for the month, Kurt. And, you know, some of these things are good causes, and I like that. What I like about it is we can just make a month for it. We can focus on it. We can voluntarily talk about it and educate about it, and I think that's wonderful. When they want to do some mandate or government spending is when I kind of go, we've crossed the line here. But there's nothing wrong with folks saying, hey, we want to take a little opportunity to educate you about things. And it reminds me of the lady, the older blind lady that was standing on the street corner, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden this dude comes up, and he thinks, I'm going to be a good Samaritan. So he grabs her by the arm, and he half drags her across the street. When he gets done, he says, glad to serve, ma'am. Thanks. And she said, actually, if you'd like to do some service, can you please take me back? And he's like, why? And she goes, I didn't want to cross the street. And so there you go. We are full of good intentions oftentimes, but we don't know what people really need. And we oftentimes overthink situations and don't really realize the repercussions of what we do many times. And so oftentimes we don't need some government mandate. You know, I'm not really for the Americans with Disabilities Act and all these other mandates, because I believe people can choose as they will, and people do the best they can to be kind. But really, education will take you much further in most cases with a lot of these things. You know, people can be trained not to touch service animals, for instance, just leave them alone. They're busy working, kind of a thing. People can learn about, you know, it just, and there's a debate about this, so you don't just listen to me. I'm just one out of many blind people, but I don't really like the beeping or the chirping or whatever at the stoplights and stuff like that, because I don't know which direction it stands for. You know, when it beeps or chirp, is it the direction that I'm going? Now, if it's a place that I go a lot, I can learn and memorize, hey, when I'm on this street, this means this, and I can associate that, and it may be somewhat helpful in that regard, but oftentimes I'd rather listen to traffic. and all that beeping and chirping and interferes with my ability to listen to traffic. And oftentimes it doesn't help me, especially if I'm in a new area. Another example of that might be, hey, you know, they have wheelchair ramps so that there's not a big curb for those who are in wheelchairs, which I get. I understand. And somebody quite intelligent said, hey, let's make a little ramp, you know, so it's not a drop off from the curb. I get that because a blind person can feel the ramp and a wheelchair can go up the ramp and it works for everybody pretty well. But then they started making these flat streets. So now there's no ramp. It's just flat. Well, now what they've done is they've basically said, okay, we're going to help out the wheelchair folks because it's flat. It's easy, right? Even easier than a ramp. But now blind people can't tell when the sidewalk ends and the street starts. So there's a lot of education that needs to go on with this, and I support education. I support people learning. There's a lot of these discussions people have never thought about. For example, they have these little teeny braille things, you know, high up, about probably as high as your head, on the wall, like on the door frame or whatever, or right by the door frame, like for the men's bathroom, and it might say men. Now, they're going to have to get rid of that men label. They can't just label a bathroom men, especially if women can just roll in, or vice versa. Okay, so that's a problem. But separate from the political discussion, how is the blind person going to know that little label's there to go read it? Well, again, if you're freshly at a new place, you wouldn't ever know, and it's of no help at all. But if you go there a lot, it is of help, especially if you just want to confirm, hey, this is a very big building, it's so many doors down, or whatever the case, and I just want to make sure that I'm entering the right bathroom first. That's good and fine. The only problem with that is, what if somebody's standing in front of it? Do you just kind of walk up and say, hey, excuse me, you're in front of the label that I need to read on the wall. Can you please step aside so I can confirm what bathroom I'm in? You know, you're much better off just when you get to the bathroom, if somebody's around, just, hey, is this the men's? Is this the women's? And they'll say, no, it's the transgender bathroom. You can go in anyone you want to. Don't worry about it anymore. But I'm just saying, this is the kind of thing where it's very difficult to adjust things for people. And oftentimes, rather than adjusting things for people, or mandating things for a politically correct idea, most of the time, the best course of action, in my humble opinion, is to just let people freely associate. And to let private businesses and organizations do what they think best. And oftentimes, it's good to create private sector associations. You know, you could have the Blindness Awareness Association. What would that be? The BAA? Blindness Awareness Association. And that would be a nonprofit private group of people that would just educate and let people know and provide guidelines and support and best practice and things. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's really good. But when they start mandating things, it's wrong. Anyway, we'll try to talk about this a little bit from time to time this month, because it is blindness. Well, I can't even say that words. It's Blindness Awareness Month. And I think it's good for the most part, as long as we keep it in proper perspective. Any final words for you on that one, Kurt?
No.
I think you can respond from the side. Are you learning things from my little educational blips there?
Yeah, but these are things you've taught me already over the years. And I, you know, I mean, it's the main thing to pick up for me is that most of the time, I mean, a massive amount of majority of the time when government tries to fix something that is not on its list of things it's supposed to do, it just makes a mess. Eh?
It runs off the rails. The problem is, if government doesn't do something, the uneducated seem to riot, Kurt, and get all mad and demand things. And see, we need an educated populace is part of the point. And, you know, usually government doesn't step into an area unless there's a vacuum. In other words, unless there's either a riot about it or there's some need for it that the people aren't taking care of on their own. For example, what if we already had the Blindness Awareness Association up and rolling? This is Liberty Roundtable Live, think tank extraordinaire, if you will. But what if that was up and rolling with all these ideas and all these educational opportunities via nonprofit or via kindness of people's hearts, volunteerism, they probably wouldn't need the ADA at all, right? Just wondering. All right, back in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live. This is Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. America's top diplomat at odds with leaders of the U.S. House impeachment inquiry over their demands to question some State Department officials about President Trump's alleged efforts to pressure the president of Ukraine. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking a short time ago at a joint press conference with the Italian foreign minister.
We won't tolerate folks on Capitol Hill bullying, intimidating State Department employees. That's unacceptable, and it's not something that I'm going to permit to happen.
As he addressed reporters there in Rome, Pompeo did admit that he was on that controversial July phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian leader. Record-breaking heat staying locked in over most of the eastern half of the U.S. today. Atlanta could hit 95. Highs in the 90s will stretch up into the Northeast. This is USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. For millions of students across America, school is back in session. From high school hallways to college campuses, now that the first semester is in full swing, it's important to check in with your kids to ensure they're developing money management skills that will stick with them for life. April Schneider, Bank of America.
This time of year can be a whirlwind for students, but it's also a prime time to talk with them about developing key financial habits like budgeting and saving. At Bank of America, we're committed to helping students succeed by providing them with educational tools like better money habits and best-in-class products like the Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account.
Bank of America's Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account allows students to bank without the worry of overdraft fees and was one of the main reasons that Bank of America was named Best Bank for College Students by Money Magazine. For more, visit bankofamerica.com. That's bankofamerica.com.
Superstar singer Beyoncé's father is battling breast cancer. Matthew Knowles detailing the diagnosis this morning, saying the numbers on male breast cancer are inadequate because not enough men even get tested for it.
I'm hoping by me coming here today, speaking out, letting folks know that you can survive this, but it has to be early detection.
Knowles detailing the diagnosis there on ABC's Good Morning America today, saying he was diagnosed after getting a mammogram a couple of months ago after he started noticing small blood stains on his shirts and bed sheets. The ADP private payrolls report is just out, and it shows the economy added 135,000 jobs last month, down from August's revised total of 157,000. The Labor Department's jobs and unemployment report is due out on Friday. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby breaking down the news of the day just for you on your radio. So, Kurt, this is where I defend President Donald J. Trump and where I say shame on the courts. The courts were supposed to be by the founding fathers intended as the least powerful branch of government, but necessary to kind of temper the other branches, if you will. But it's gone off the rails in recent years where these activist, belligerent, psychotic, extremist judges just apply their own opinions to things. They render opinions, by the way. Anyway, not to really uphold the law, but to kind of carve out the law according to their own mandates. Well, now, according to Deseret News, the Associated Press, the Daily Herald, you know, a bunch of news services here in Utah, a federal judge has rejected the Trump administration's efforts to dismiss lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of Donald Trump's 2017 decision to downsize two national monuments in Utah. So in 2017, Donald came out to Utah. There was a big to-do. We praised President Trump at the time. It was a big media op, and President Trump said, hey, I'm going to downsize these government federal monuments because they're too big, don't need to do it. Now, Donald should have flat out had the guts to abolish them entirely, but he didn't. But he at least downsized them, and we gave him credit for some effort there. Well, then there became lawsuits saying, Donald, you can't do that. You can't just arbitrarily. Now, presidents can arbitrarily create them and increase them, and there's no constitutional challenge. But when President Trump tries to dismantle them and or downsize them, Donald gets all kinds of lawsuits. Well, now a federal judge could have rejected Donald's attempts to defend the Constitution. And so the battle rages on. But this is an example 2 years later. It's still in the courts. Nothing's been done to downsize them. And now the courts are challenging President Trump. So you got all the folk that are suing, all these, quote, special interest NGOs, non-governmental organizations, etc., NGOs. And now you got government officials in certain states and everywhere else. They're all suing the Donald over this, President Trump. And literally the court is, by a single judge, saying, Donald, President, you're shut down. Giving a single judge literally authority and power over the presidential branch. Congress left out of the debate entirely. They're sidelined. The battle is between the courts and President Trump. But it's the whole system is topsy-turvy. And this is where you got to praise President Trump for doing his best. But it's also where you see the swamp so deep. Without friends around President Trump, he can't get the job done, Kurt. He's just stuck and stymied literally at every turn. It's an absolute shame. Kurt?
Well, yeah, it's definitely, you know, got to agree with you. There's so much more that could be done or should be done, and that the swamp monsters, the insiders, the Getty and robbers, etc., are, well, alive and well, if you will. And, you know, I will say this, that in my opinion, many of the, well, good people that should be focused on this, they get, well, they kind of get lost thinking that, well, number one, it's a little difficult to understand. So they say, well, let's leave it to the experts. That's a problem, if you ask me. And then they also, because they're, let's say they're, I guess you would say, genuinely good people, that they're concerned that they've got to focus on, like, their family and their God and that kind of thing. And they leave the country part to, well, those who some would say, you know, they like that, so we'll let you do that. And yet I would simply say to any of them, and to all of us, as a reminder that we all have a duty to God, family, and country. And I believe we'd be in a much better spot if we all fulfilled those duties.
Yes, you're right about that. Spot on commentary, Kurt. And it is true that a lot of times when things are complicated, people's eyes glaze over. That's part of the problem. The other problem, though, is people have become so disenfranchised, Kurt, that they just feel like, you know, whatever, because I can't do anything about it. For example, Donald Trump just got shut down in the courts over a, you know, Barack's land grab, Bill Clinton and others' land grabs. Donald trying to pare those back. We applauded him at the time. But now that the battle's in court and Donald lost in court or whatever and by this judge, I don't know if they're on appeal or what they're going to do next, but what am I to do about it? I mean, I can report it and highlight it and tell you what a shame it is and educate and stand for the Constitution, and I can and will do those things. But what can I do more to move the needle here? And I think a lot of people just feel disenfranchised about it, Kurt.
Well, I agree, and yet... you know, it seems like the answer is right at our fingertips. We hear about a thing they call impeachment, and yet somehow it only applies to the president and not to, well, judges, out of control judges, or even lawmakers or whatever. There's so many of these instances where we could basically recall, if you will, these individuals that are in there. They're not to be just there for life or anything like that, but good behavior is, well, a necessity.
Yes, but no one that I know will be providing leadership and talk about the idea that we can impeach or we can you know, get rid of judges that are bad actors and that have their own agenda here. So, I mean, I appreciate the issue. It's worth bringing up and being cognizant of and knowledgeable about. I wish there was a way that we could assemble and do something about this. You know what ought to be done? Somebody ought to create a judge watch organization that would basically say, hey, these judges are acting outside the law and we need to look at them. And, you know, I don't know if you'd get petitions and get money to to focus on this in the news, to highlight the discussions. You know, I don't know what needs to be done. I'm just telling you that this is where I support President Trump on this land issue. I wish he'd do more, but I'm grateful for what he's done. But I just don't see how he can move the needle. He just gets shut down everywhere. And if a judge shuts him down now, then if he overrules the judge or, you know, appeals the judge, pretty soon some international organization will shut him down, or he'll get caught in the mire of this and that. And I just don't know what to say about it. And I don't know what can be done next about it is the problem. But again, Liberty Roundtable is one of the greatest think tanks on the planet. Maybe we need to get some land experts on the radio to talk about it, Kurt, and see what would be the best idea. But I would push for impeaching this activist judge. If a president can expand or create a national monument, certainly a president can shrink or get rid of one, right? Now, I don't think that the president has the authority to do that in the first place, Kurt. But I do know if one president has the authority to ratchet up, another has authority to, I don't know what you want to call it, shrink it. In other words, the creator, wrongfully as it might be, can uncreate, right? Or take away. If they can grant, they can take away. This is the problem with governments in the first place, is that they turn everything into a privilege or everything into a decision. I think the states should be responsible for the land. And what I think we should do is go back to the supreme law of our land. Sometimes it's a very difficult, you know, it's not a straight road to get there, right, Kurt? It's a line item by line item or a little incremental bit at a time. And that's frustrating for constitutionalists like us that just want to apply the law, the supreme law as it is. So it's a lot of work, and we need to be anxiously engaged in that work. All right, Kurt, are you a Latter-day Saint, sir?
I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, yes.
Okay, so the headline says Latter-day Saint Leaders, and I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I'm a Latter-day Saint as well. But it said Latter-day Saint leaders are now meeting with the head of the UN World Food Program, KSL, in conjunction with other news services with the details, Kurt.
Yeah, now, there's, I guess, I'm not surprised at this, but the UN has something they call the World Food Program, and in this case, programs with two M's and an E, so, you know, that's the little elevated program. You know, here in the country, we just call it program with one M. In this case, Lauren Bennett has the piece. You know, the thing I was interested about this story is that I believe, well, this is an example of how the churches can basically be the example, and what we need is less of things like the UN and more of things like, well, the church is taking care of this issue. I guess these big government wonks, if you will, or the UN World Food Program people.
Now, let's
they
be
call
clear
WFP.
A little bit. The UN is not government, yeah. Though, and that's one misunderstanding most folks have. They believe that the UN is kind of a global governance or government. I reject that notion. Now, I support the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the leadership, you know, working on food programs to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and do all those things, and I think that's wonderful. But I don't want people to think that the UN is government, because it really has no authority in government whatsoever. Right, Kurt?
It does not. The only problem is it gets a lot of tax dollars from people, you know, forced to participate, and I'd eliminate the UN if it were me.
Amen to that. In the meantime, though, let's feed the hungry, and I commend the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and for their involvement in humanitarian efforts all around the world.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
So I agree with Kurt Crosby 1,000%. We need to get the UN out of things, especially when it comes to taking tax dollars, and they certainly breach the sovereignty of nations around the world. But I want everybody to know the UN is not government, even though they try to make it such, etc., and even though it attempts to become such, it is not government now. And I agree with Kurt, we should pull out of it. In the meantime, though, I commend the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for doing humanitarian efforts and working with anybody else that they possibly can to get that need taken care of in the private sector via the churches and nonprofit and charitable organizations, as I believe the best way to do it, that is the best way. Okay, so that part's good news. Kurt?
Well, I agree, Sam. And, I like these kind of stories because a lot of times you can dig through the story and find some additional little nuggets of information. They say the World Food Program, this thing operated out of the UN that's supported by many tax dollars around the world, they say it operates in more than 80 countries, feeding people caught in conflict and disasters. It also works with communities to improve nutrition and build resilience. They're not going to criticize it here simply because they, of course, are working with it. And, I'm not going to say that it's all bad because there's going to be some good folks there. But I believe that the churches could do it so much better. They say they estimate that 821 million people go to bed on an empty stomach each night. I wonder who's out there counting that. In addition, they say one in three people around the world suffers from some form of malnutrition. Latter-day Saint Charities is the humanitarian arm of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they say its purpose is to relieve suffering, foster self-reliance, and provide opportunities for service. Since 1985, that's a little ways back, Latter-day Saint Charities has aided millions of people in 195 countries. In 2018, it worked in 141 countries and territories on 2,885 projects with more than 1,900 partners to serve millions of people.
Well, and this is kind of the reason, too, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints won't be critical of the United Nations. They're not interested in the political debate about it. They're interested in doing the charitable work that churches do, and they're just simply saying, hey, we're not here to debate the partners that exist out in the world right now. That's something for somebody else. We're about promoting Jesus Christ, turning people to Christ. We're about following the Prince of Peace and his example. We're about our charitable humanitarian work around the world to care and love, care for and love those around the world. And we want to do so by feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and doing the biblical adage, if you will. And so I don't blame the church for not, speaking out. How do we basically trash an organization that we're, trying to utilize? The UN's big, and the UN has a lot of connections, and if we can use those connections to reach out and provide relief to people in the meantime, then the discussion of getting rid of the UN is a kind of a topic that's critical, but it's for another day, if you will. And the question is, you got to talk about the right who when it comes to who should be getting rid of the United Nations. So there's a lot of work to be done, Kurt. All I'm telling you is I see good in the news and people trying to bring relief to one another by free choice and by volunteerism, and by humanitarian efforts with charitable organizations providing a lot of support and leadership, and I commend them for their work. That's all that is.
Yep. And I got to agree 100%. One other thing I just asked is a simple question.
Sure.
ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, if those tax dollars that were forced to be sent to the UN, to, whether it's the World Food Program or any other thing that the UN does, if they were, you know, in just the churches and the churches were doing the work, how much more good could be done with that money?
Well, and you're right. And how much more of a bang for your buck could you get, if you will? One of the things that I don't like about the United Nations and some of these other groups, they're very wasteful. They're full of mismanagement and confusion, and you don't know what, you know, what real effect gets to the bottom line and all this kind of stuff. Whereas when you do it through these churches and these nonprofit charitable organizations, you have a lot more confidence and a lot greater track record, if you will, of the real dollars intended to get to the bottom line, to be used in the real world for good. In other words, the overhead becomes a lot smaller because people are doing it for the right reasons. And a lot of times there are people that are on the ground that are watching each project in detail to make sure that those sacred funds are used wisely. And that's the biggest reason that we feel like, hey, this charitable organization by trustworthy private sector groups, management on the local level can do some of the best, most effective work. And that's really what we're after. We're not here to attack anybody. We are here to highlight that I believe the United Nations violates the sovereignty of countries, and that's a problem. But we're not here to run around and criticize. We're here to find good examples of good people doing good things and highlight those great things that are being done. And I do agree that, you know what, there's a lot of hungry and people who need clothing and fuel and food and shelter and these things. And we do, through humanitarian, private sector, charitable efforts, want to get that done. I mean, we should be all about that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we should be discontent with our own families. We need to, as men and women, reach out to those around us with love and kindness and service and philanthropy and humanitarian efforts. And the list goes on and on. Anyway, a great story and worthy of the talk. That's to say the least. I guess Republicans, Curtis, you know, people don't realize this either. They think the Republican and the Democratic parties are part of the government, right? I'm going to be very clear. They're not part of the government at all. They're private organizations, Kurt.
Right.
And that alone is vote fraud for these private organizations to have such dictatorial power over the election process. Mm-hmm. And to prove the point, Republicans are changing their delegate rules right now. Why they want to prevent discord at convention, Kurt. Now, at first glance, you go, well, hey, that's good to prevent discord, right? Yeah. Well, discord prevention is good, but the way they're going about it just proves how dictator-like they really are.
Yep.
So instead of having the delegates discuss the rules and work on it, they just want to change the rules from the top, Kurt. And they want to shut down any dissent from Donald Trump. And they want to streamline the rules and tighten the rules to make sure that nobody is a dissenter at the convention. I don't think that's what the conventions are about, Kurt. The conventions are to decide which way the rank and file want to go on this. And I reject this attempt. Now, you would say, well, Sam, but it's for Donald, and aren't you a backer of Donald? No, ladies and gentlemen. I back President Trump when he does what's right, according to the supreme law of our land. When it promotes God, family, and country, I back President Trump. When he doesn't do those things, I don't back him. Well, that's the same with every other politician and every other party or organization as well. When they're doing something that's right and good, I want to support that. When they're doing something that I believe is a concern, I want to highlight that. I don't want to attack, but I do want to highlight the differences and why. And then you, or we the people, if you will, can decide, you know, where do you stand on it? You have your own mind, your own opinion. But I will advocate for the beliefs that I have, for the cause that I'm engaged, and for the guidelines to which I subscribe. And then we can, you know, all decide as we will. But I hope to influence you for my way of thinking. That's the reason for the program. Well, so I've got a problem with this tightening of the rules. I don't care if it's for Trump or anybody else, Kurt. And I don't want dissent as in a brawl by any means. But I do want appropriate discussion. I do want appropriate viewpoints to be brought to the table. And I do want the people through their delegates, that is the Republic way, if you will, I want the people through their delegates to decide what happens at the convention. I don't want a lockdown rule. We're going to make sure that when you come to the party, we've already got the decisions made and you're just going to put a rubber stamp on the decisions. I don't want that, Kurt. So I reject this whole headliner idea. And I'm disappointed even more so in the Republicans, because is it really about Trump or is it about making sure the swamp stays in place, Kurt? tough questions, huh?
One of the key things that I want to bring up about this whenever we have a discussion of party is the real solutions are outlined pretty well by President George Washington when he basically counseled us against what he called the spirit of party. And so the real solutions is to eliminate parties, not to continue to embrace them, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. Good point. All right. Hong Kong, Kurt, is on lockdown. Please tell public to stay indoors after a student 18 years old got shot in chest by the cops, folks. And another officer threatens to throw Molotov cocktails at protesters. As the streets are turned into a, quote, battlefield. Kurt, you want to update us on this one and kind of, you know, this is insanity going on over there in Hong Kong, buddy.
Well, Sam, but, I mean, it's so confusing to see why these people are basically battling for their freedom. I mean, they should just submit to the beloved communist rule and just remember that, hey, they've got it all figured out for them. They don't need to be able to hunt or go on the internet anywhere they like or, read anything they want. I mean, they need to be grateful for a big brother government that oversees every bit of their actions for their own good, Sam. I mean, these
almost
people
got
need
me.
To submit, you know?
Yeah, it's a problem. And Hong Kong on lockdown. We knew this was coming, Kurt. Remember, Hong Kong used to be temporarily under, what, British rule, Kurt? Is that how it was? And then Hong Kong basically China let that sunset.
It was quite a while under British rule, as far as I know.
Yeah, 100 years or something.
And which basically made it a place where you could pretty much have freedom. And that's one of the reasons it flourished very well.
Amen.
And now those people are seeing the long arm of the communist Chinese expand in there, and they are a little concerned.
The long arm of our most favored nation trading partner, just saying.
That's
a sad tale to tell, and I feel for these people in Hong Kong. I don't think it's really akin to Tiananmen Square yet, but it's certainly not good. And when you have cops shooting, student 18 years old gets shot in the chest by the cops, and the cops threaten to launch Molotov cocktails at protesters, the streets are turning into the battlefield. All I'm telling you is there's got to be better ways. And one of the blessings of America, one of the things that I'm still grateful for in America, and this is why I really say we've lost a lot of freedom, but we haven't lost as much as some people want to think. Okay? We don't have blood in the streets. We don't have cops literally wholesale shooting people and launching Molotov cocktails and creating literally war in the streets. Now, we've had little blips of some of that stuff in the 60s. We've had a little bit of that coming back with Antifa and some of these other violent organizations. That strangely, your government isn't doubling down on domestic terrorism charges against these people. They're letting them run around and destroy private property and everything else. So it's a sad tale to tell. But nevertheless, I bring this up because even though we've got it bad in America, we've lost a lot of liberties, and we certainly live in perilous times. It isn't as bad as many people think, and we need to be grateful for the freedom and the stability and the safety we still have. And then we need to go to work, shoulder to shoulder, men and women, black and white, religious and non, whatever you want to say. Everybody needs to stand side by side to defend the sacred principles that make America great. By the way, it's about the principle. All right? It's about principle, ladies and gentlemen. And it's about living as a self-governed individual and teaching your family to do the same. Once we get individuals and families living according to God's laws, living according to principle, society will take care of itself. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. Becky Akers with us, incredible author and more. We'll tell you about her in the next hour. But hour one of the can, if you have the heart to help donate today, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.